The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus' teaching and action in this text are directed to the church whenever it is seduced by the world's definition of greatness, prestige, power, influence, and money. The antidote to such a concern for greatness is servanthood, the gospel lesson. Jesus and his disciples passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. It's time for our children's message this morning, so I welcome all of you out there in internet land. Boys and girls, I want to share with you some ideas about what we just read. So, look at this key ring that I have here. Did you ever see so many keys before? And you wonder which of these keys might be the most important. Well, that depends. If I need to get into my office here at the church, this one is the most important. If I want to start my car and go someplace, this is the one that's going to be most important to me. And look at this little one here, just a tiny little key. That doesn't look very important, does it? But if I want to get into my locked suitcase, this is the one that I'm going to need. So it would be pretty silly to argue about which of these keys is the most important, wouldn't it? But how about people? Have you ever heard people arguing among themselves about which of them was the most important or which was the greatest? I have. And you'd be surprised to know that even Jesus' disciples argued about that. One day the disciples were walking along on their way to Capernaum with Jesus, and they were arguing among themselves which of them was going to be the greatest and the first. Jesus overheard them, and once they got to the house where they were going to stay, he gathered them and asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way here?" Well, the disciples suddenly got very quiet. You see, they were embarrassed, because they had been arguing about which one of them was going to be the greatest. Well, Jesus sat down and called his disciples to him then, and he said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and be the servant of everyone." Now, that wasn't exactly what the disciples wanted to hear. They were hoping to hear Jesus say that they were going to have a position of great importance in his kingdom. Instead, Jesus called over a little child, took that child in his arms, and said, "Anyone who welcomes one of these little children also welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me also welcomes the one who sent me," which of course is God the Father. So if I were to ask you, who is the greatest person that ever lived, who would you name? Maybe you would say a famous athlete or a movie star, or maybe a world leader. I think, though, that we would all agree that Jesus Christ was the greatest person who ever lived. Why? Well, because although he was God, he gave up all of his privileges as God and became a servant. Now, boys and girls, there's a lot of keys on my ring. But one key you won't find on this key ring is the key to greatness. Because the key to greatness is to have the heart of a servant, a heart like Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, give us a servant's heart, a heart like Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. All right, let's continue our discussion on greatness. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all on this morning. Back in the 1300s, the soldier known as the Black Prince was a giant on English battlefields. But when he got off his horse, he was a shrimp. King Henry V, who led English forces some 50 years later, cast a long shadow as a soldier, but not so long when merely a man standing in the sun. He was a little guy. For a long time, we have assumed that the Black Prince and King Henry V were typical of their peers, that most of the people from history were shorter than we are. And we've based that assumption on things like the small doorways found in ancient dwellings and the small suits of clothing and armor on display in museums. But according to some recent research conducted by British archaeologists, the height description between earlier generations and our own is a tall tale. The researchers analyzed skeletons from a cemetery at the medieval village of Warham Percy in Yorkshire. And based on their measurements, the average height of men, at least in Britain, has remained about the same over the centuries, at about 5'7". And the average height of women has held at about 5'3". Where they did find some difference was in children. Medieval boys of about 10 years old were 8 inches shorter than 10-year-old boys are today. But those who survived to adulthood eventually reached the normal height. So, how do we account for the small clothing the Black Prince and Henry wore? Well, they were simply below average in size. And those small suits of armor, well, that's because many military recruits were drawn from the lower classes, where possibly because of poor nutrition, they tended to be shorter. What's more, a lot of soldiers were boys to begin with. And even the low doorways can be explained easily. They were built that way to conserve heat. So, we can conclude that most men and women from medieval times were, in general, about as tall as men and women of our day. And what about men and women in Jesus' day? Well, evidence collected by those same archaeologists suggests that they may have been just as tall. But whether they were or not, they were, like us, concerned with other matters of stature, which we see in today's gospel reading. There, Jesus confronts his disciples about their argument over who among them was the tallest. I I mean the greatest. He made a statement and then gave an example. The statement was, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." And for the example, Jesus called over a child, took the child in his arms, and said, "Whoever welcomes one such child welcomes me." Now, you probably don't have too much trouble understanding that statement, but without knowing something of the culture in those times, we might miss the point of the example. In that culture, children were essentially non-persons. They were left with the women who were themselves considered subservient to the men, but children were even further down the social ladder. In fact, only slaves were lower in social standing than children. And if you noticed, to reinforce the insignificance of children, Mark doesn't even identify the gender of the child. The account says that Jesus took a child and put it among them. You can't get much more impersonal than it, can you? Thus, to say that the followers of Jesus could welcome him by welcoming a child was a rather puzzling suggestion to those disciples. But Jesus wanted them to understand that by welcoming a child, they were welcoming him, and that God viewed greatness in a different way than human beings. It came not from being high on society's status ladder, but by welcoming those on the bottom rungs, or those who didn't have a place on the ladder at all. True greatness is not from how far we rise above others in status or in fame or achievement, but rather in how far we are willing to go in including and caring for those on the bottom rungs, the lowly, and welcoming them in his name. Far from calling for a leveling of humankind, Jesus was urging his followers to stand tall in their recognition of every person, even the lowliest among us, as someone for whom he came. So in welcoming such a one, Jesus is welcomed. And in welcoming Jesus, we welcome God. Now, here at First Lutheran Church, in our partnerships with Room in the Inn and the Launch Pad and the Table, we participate in work that seeks to do just that, a welcome for the disenfranchised and marginalized. And what's more, given the community in which this church finds itself, it is imperative for authentic ministry that we reflect the diversity around us by building an inclusive church. Welcoming is an aspect of hospitality. And it is one thing to try to help others from a distance, to throw them our leftovers or hand-me-downs. But it's quite another to give them the kinds of things that we enjoy. My daughter Christina learned that one day, quite a few years ago now. She came home from school excited that her class was collecting canned goods to give to the needy, and she wanted to know if she could take some cans from the pantry. Her mother told her to go ahead and pick some things out to help herself. So she started setting out cans of beets and succotash and spinach and even a can of hominy someone had given us. All things she didn't care for. When her mother went over and added a box of macaroni and cheese and a can of SpaghettiOs to the pile, Christina objected. She liked mac and cheese and SpaghettiOs and didn't want to part with those. Her mother explained to her something about what it means to be hospitable. Accepting that the needs of others are important as our own needs, and offering others what we ourselves value. Now, the Bible occasionally takes note of certain characters' physical height. And in that regard, one man once asked his friend if he knew who was the shortest person in the Bible. Well, the friend guessed Zacchaeus. But the man said, no, it was Nehemiah, or Nehemiah as we know him. But seriously, the Bible does mention a race of tall people called Nephilim, and King Saul was noted as standing head and shoulders above everyone else. And there was, of course, Goliath, noted as a giant, and as previously mentioned, Zacchaeus at the other end of the linear scale. But God is the first to note that a person's height has nothing to do with his or her character. But people stand tall in other ways. You may remember when Dana Reeve, the widow of actor Christopher Reeve, died of lung cancer in 2006 at the age of 44. Tributes poured in about her. She was an actress and a singer in her own right, but the praise she received was largely for the years of care and love she gave to her husband after he was paralyzed in a horseback riding accident, and for her work on behalf of others through the Christopher and Dana Reeve Paralysis Resource Center, a foundation the couple created to help people with spinal cord and other mobility-related injuries. Now, some might say that in caring for her incapacitated husband, she was simply keeping her marriage vows, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health. But Dana put her own goals aside to welcome Chris in his new condition. And through the foundation, both Reeves reached out to welcome others who had been sidelined by injuries or other causes. The sadness at her death was in part because when someone who stands that tall dies, it leaves a noticeable gap against the sky. So, my friends, according to research, we know that our ancestors were, on average, about the same height as our generations. Thanks to certain medical advances, chiefly in hormone therapy, over a period of years, as much as 3 inches could be added to an individual's final height measurement. But for growing tall spiritually, the prescription remains unchanged. The long and the short of it is to be hospitable toward the least and the lowly. For in doing so, we welcome Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as you are able, and we'll join in singing our hymn of the day.